Shalom, this is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This is part four on the series of rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle. We will continue now where we left off last week on the topic of the Hebrew word kara. When we call out to him as living stones, we kara. We want a meeting. We want a meeting of the lights. The light that Yahweh gave us, that is life and life and energy, and we want that to meet with his life. We can find this in Scripture. In fact, the first time it occurs in Scripture is right after the vibration or movement or shaking of Genesis 1:2 when the Ruach hovered. So let's look at Genesis 1:5 where this word kara first occurs. And Elohim called, or kara, Hebrews 7:1-2:1 in the Strong's, the light day and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were Yom Echad, or coming together in unity as one day. Remember from part two, we discussed how there was a meeting of the heads or sons or house of light with the heads or sons of darkness. In a sense, Yahweh kara, he called a meeting. For behold, there was a great event, and he separated that sun or house of light from that sun or house of darkness. Let's look at Psalm 28:1, which is the Psalm of David. Unto thee I cry, kara, O Yahuwah, my rock, my sur. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down to the pit. Hear, or shema, or attend, or consider, or respond to what you hear, the voice of my supplications. When I cry, this word cry is 7768, which means to be free from trouble, shava, unto thee. When I lift up my hands towards thy holy oracle or word. Now, usually we know the shema, shema Israel. Listen, hear, and obey, Israel. Listen and hear, my children, Yahweh says. But in this case, it's reversed. It is one of his living stones, David, King David, crying out to Yahweh and saying, shema, hear me, crying out, shema, hear me, listen to me, consider me, respond to me. Let's look a little more at this word zur, or rock, or cliff, 6697 in the Strong's. It can also mean press, or enemy, or balm, as in a salve rubbed and pressed into the skin, or to crush, as in the crushing of anointing oil. A press or a flint. Let's consider the flint. A flint is a very hard rock. When fractured, it forms a very razor-sharp edge, which can be used as a weapon, or a knife, or a spear, or an arrowhead. It can be precious, something of great value, or a wall. And so we see more where that scripture or that song, Yahweh is the rock of my salvation, the stone that the builders rejected. I run to the rock or to the mountain, and the rock stands by me. So we want to have a meeting with this rock. We want to press into this rock because we are but little stones that come from and depend on the rock, the solid flint, our refuge. And again, we have the kara, which is where we get the word mikra when we have meetings during our moedim or our appointments or our feasts. Let's look at Psalm 61:1 again. We have the Psalm of David. He says, hear or shema my cry. This word cry is rana, which means to creak or to rattle. Again, we have a vibration, a frequency, or an energy, or sound. Shema my cry, O Elohim, attend unto my prayer, my supplications. From the end of the earth will I cry, I will kara, I want to meet you, I want to accost you. Unto thee with my heart, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock, the sur, the cliff, the refuge, which is higher than I am, greater than I am. For thou hast been a shelter to me and a strong tower from the enemy, because as a rock he protects us. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering or the covert of your wings, Selah. Let's look at the word tabernacle here in Psalm 61:4 that we just read. It is the word ohel, or tent, or can mean clearly conspicuous from a distance, a covering, a dwelling, a home, or a tabernacle. Now, in the ancient Hebrew, we have it as the picture of shine or star. Now, in the ancient Hebrew, it can be broken down to mean shine or star or distant. Surely, a star from the distance is clearly conspicuous or clearly seen or clearly noticeable. It has the shepherd lamed and the hay. And the man raising his hands means, look, there's a great sight. And the shepherd represents the idea of looking toward something with the staff, such as looking toward a light in the distance. And the stars, or the light of the stars, have always been used to guide a traveler or a shepherd to find his home or destination. Torah is light. Yahweh is light. His word is light. That is what guides us. That is what directs us. That's what takes us safely home. That's what takes us to the kingdom. It is to show us the path, the road, the derech to the kingdom of Yahuwah. So another way even to read Psalm 61:4 is to say, I will abide in your tabernacle, or I will abide in your shining light or star forever. Remember the scriptures we read that talk about in the day, in the light of Yahuwah, in the day, in the light of Yahuwah, there will be no need for the sun or the moon because he is the light and Yeshua is the lamp. This is also where we get the word Lucifer because he was bright and shining. It is also part of the word diamond, which is a hard and precious stone that glitters. If Hasatan, Satan, Lucifer's name is derived from this Hebrew word Hallel, which means the bright shining star, which could be light, electricity, power, frequency, energy. In the beginning, or before creation of the world, or the earth, do you not think that he doesn't understand how to use, and more importantly, or unfortunately, how to misuse the light and the beauty and the color and the spectrum and the frequencies that Yahuwah had given him? And he is known as the great deceiver. And what is deception but mixing the truth of light and life with darkness or shading so that one is deceived so as not to see or expose what is really being done in the darkness? And this is part of the showdown in the day that we live and the days that we're going to face between misusing the light and the energy that Father created versus the right, correct way to use it or to apply it to our lives for life and health instead of for death and darkness. Psalm 89:26, he shall cry or karah. Remember the kuf and the resh, the head of the light, the meeting of the heads. Karah unto me, thou my Father, my God, Elohim, and the rock or the zur or the refuge of my salvation. That word in Hebrew is Yeshua. That's what we call Yeshua, Jesus. And also, I will make him my firstborn higher than the kings of the earth. This is referring to David. And my mercy will I keep him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. That's Psalm 89:26. So let's look at this word salvation, which is Strong's H3444, Yeshua. It means something that is saved, that is abstractly deliverance, an aid, a victory, prosperity, health, deliverance, welfare. In the ancient Hebrew, it has the shin or the ayin. It means to watch or shepherd or to delight. Combined, they mean together, destroyer watches. The shepherd carefully watches over the flock and the surrounding areas on the lookout for danger. And when a predator comes to attack, the shepherd destroys the enemy. We hear his voice, the great shepherd, who is Yeshua. Yeshua means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is our deliverer. Yeshua, Jesus, did not come in his own name. He came in the name of his Father. We miss that translation in the English. He and the Father are one. He is about his Father's business. He is about promoting the agenda of his Father. It's not about him building his own kingdom. And Yeshua, Yahweh, is our salvation. He prays for us, Israel, and his people in covenant with Yahweh to be one or echad, like he is one or echad with his Father. So we are to be about his business, his name, his honor, not what we want for the building up of our own little empires or kingdoms or desires, but his desire. So Yeshua is watching out over us as we walk in obedience because we're good lambs, and even when we're bad lambs, he goes out and he gets us. And when that lamb cries out to him, he hears his voice. He responds and he rescues him from the wolves and loves him and nourishes him back into the flock. And the little lamb realizes that it was foolish for him to have gone astray. He then knows and experiences Psalm 119, 71 through 73. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. The law, or the Torah, of your mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Yod, thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might learn your commandment or mitzvah. And so he loves us so much that he's willing to let us become broken, but then he picks us up, puts us on his shoulders, and carries us, soothes us, and nourishes us. And then we learn of his goodness. And then we become sheep that listen and obey because we no longer want to go astray. We no longer want to be afflicted. I can personally tell you, I don't want any more spanking. I tell my children all the time, wait till you grow up and Father holds you accountable and he gives you a whooping. You will learn that his ways are better, his ways are greater, and you will learn to listen and obey quickly or suffer the consequences. He is good because of his love and his goodness and his mercy. He disciplines us. We'll be right back after this short message. Spring has sprung. Birds chirping, blooming flowers, fresh breezes, and spring cleaning, along with fresh white linen sheets, are in the air. Linen has its own life-giving frequencies, which reflect light. Yahweh has shown us in His Word and in the Mishkan in the wilderness the pattern for veiling or clothing the set-apart place, the Holy of Holies. As His set-apart people, His living stones, Father wants to restore to us the lost treasures of Israel, including His Moedim, His pure language, Shemen, essential oils, and Shesh, linen, since we spend at least 1/3 of our life in restorative sleep. A good place to start with having linen in your life is with white, pure linen sheets. Consider linen sheets as part of the restoration process of transitioning back to wearing linen for your health, available at Remnant Remedy. Also available are linen headband coverings, hand-woven linen scarves, linen garments, linen thread, and linen yarn for your own personal sewing projects. For more information about linen to cover your living stone, go to the Hebrew Nation Radio Store and click on Remnant Remedy. Let's look at the word shake or vibrate in the verse James chapter 2 verse 19. Thou believest that there is a God, one Yahweh. Thou doest well. Even the devils believe and tremble. In the Greek, this word is seo, where we get, I believe, the word seismic or seismograph. The word means to rock, to vibrate, to and fro, sideways, to agitate, to tremble or to tremor with fear or concern, to move, to quake or shake. Again, when we have sound, we have energy, we have light, we have electromagnetic fields, we have quaking and tremoring, we have speaking, we have colors, vibrations, we have music. Let's look at some other uses of this tremble or this shaking or this seo, Greek word 4579. Matthew 21:10, and when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? Okay, there was movement, there was an agitation, there was a vibration of movement among the people. Matthew 27:51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake. Again, Greek Strong's number 4579, and the rocks were rent. This is a same use of the word with earthquake. Matthew 28:4, and for the fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as though they were dead men. Now remember, in Genesis 1:2, we had a vibration of movement or frequency as in the fluttering of the wings of a bird as the Ruach hovered over the face of the waters in Genesis 1:2. When we get towards the end of the Ha'olam or the age to come, we have more quaking or trembling. Let's look at Hebrews 12:26. Whose voice then shook the earth? Remember, voice, frequency, energy. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Let me read that again. Hebrews 12:26. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also the heaven. Do a word study on shofar, the trumpet, voice, coal. This is Yahweh's voice that will shake the earth. His voice is like the many rushing waters. His voice is like the shofar. This is going to shake the earth again. His voice shook or vibrated the earth in Genesis 1:1, 1:2. In the beginning, it's all there. These are some of the key understandings of understanding the difference between light, day, darkness, night, mixture, arev, energy, frequencies, vibrations, electromagnetic fields. This is all key in the understanding of the Ark of the Covenant and how you were to approach and use or carry the Ark and be in the presence of Yahuwah. We have to prepare ourselves, and the bride has to prepare to be clean, set apart, walking in Torah, undefiled, so that she meets the protocol to be able to be in His presence when He comes as a light to the world with a great earthquake, as He says in His scriptures, with His voice that's going to shake the earth, and it's going to shake the heavens. And who can stand? When you came into His presence in the Mishkan, who could stand? The high priest had to be following the rules and the protocol to be in His presence. Yahweh wants us to be able to be in His presence, to bear His light to the world and to the nations, figuratively and literally. These are important foundations to understanding as to why and the significance of wearing white linen. Let's look at Revelation 6:13. And the stars of heaven fell onto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Are these verses here just to read for entertainment? No. There is electromagnetic field between the heavens and the earth, and in the bodies of asteroids, meteorites, stars, volcanoes, earthquakes on the earth, there's a vibration and a shaking. If you look and dig into the word, especially in the Hebrew, you will see this happened during the flood. It probably happened during the Exodus, and it's going to happen again. Why? It's very exciting to find out why. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27 through 29. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. You see, there's things that can be shaken that will no longer exist, and there are things that will be shaken that will still exist, as we will see in verse 28. Wherefore, we receiving the kingdom, which cannot be moved, cannot be shaken, cannot be trembled, cannot be set off course, let us have grace whereby we may serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God, our Yahweh, is a consuming fire. In Greek, it's also lightning. The sign of the Son of Man is when the lightning comes from the east to the west. It is a great light. It is the day, the Yom, the light of Yahweh, the day of the Lord. It is like the shofar, His voice, His lightning. Do a word study. Prove it to yourself. So He used His voice, His sound, vibrations, frequencies, energy to create the earth. And He's going to use it to shake everything that needs to be shaken again with His word, as He says, to destroy those things that will fall and no longer exist. We have thousands of satellites surrounding us. These satellites were put into space by the words of the NASA program for tracking and communication. It was sold to the American public as a form of protection. But now we literally have Star Wars. They use that tracking and communication to track every person on the face of the earth. They use it for in the air and on the earth weapon technology against nations. Yahweh is going to use the things that He's going to shake in the heavens to bring down that spider web, that echelon program that is used to track and enslave His people on the face of the earth. You see, the enemy, Hasatan, the deceiver, he wants to digitize your world so that he can track and communicate and watch all of your communication and communicate to you or control your thought processes or inflict things upon you. Because by digitizing your world, it is the only way he can be artificially omnipresent. Yahweh will only let that go so far. When you see the heavens and the figs fall from the sky, whether it's a shaking in the heavens, a shaking on the earth, we need to run outside and look up and shout for joy, for our redemption draweth nigh. Look up. It's literal. Look up to the heavens. There's a reason and a purpose for these things. And all that we see and read about every day that seems scary and frightening is for the purpose to free His people. It is good for those who love Him and obey Him and walk in His covenant. We all have to die sometime. There is a resurrection. Either we will live as if there is, or we will live as if there isn't. We will either believe and have faith and walk as if we have that, or we won't. Don't let the darkness overcome the light that Yahweh has given you. Now, the word for vibrate or move, which is Hebrew Strong 7363, that we see first time in Genesis 1:3, can be found in Deuteronomy 32:11 and Jeremiah 23:9. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the spirit or the ruach of Elohim moved, fluttered, vibrated, or brooded over upon the face of the waters." It can be a fluttering like a bird. We see that connotation in Deuteronomy 32:11, where the word is used again, "As an eagle stirreth up her nest, or fluttereth over her young, spreading abroad her wings, taketh them and beareth them on her wings." In other words, the wings flutter and they vibrate, but they also can rest upon and hide the baby chicks, or eaglets in this case. Jeremiah 23:9, "Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All of my bones shake," or vibrate, or flutter. "I am like a drunken man, and like a man whom wine hath overcome because of Yahuwah, and because of the words of his holiness, of his kadosh." So here we see that even our bones have a vibration or a fluttering. And if we study DNA, we study the way the cells work in the body, and if we study the electromagnetism of the body and our circuitry in our body, any scientist in that field can tell you this is so. When we understand that all of creation that Father Yahweh created has a signature frequency and or a vibration, then maybe we can consider that stones that have been used in history and even currently today are used to help heal the body or to restore the body. I believe there were spectrums of color, vibrations, frequencies that were used on the ephod with the high priest, the Kohen. It was used for judgment, for a way for Yahweh to speak to the priest about the situation to the people of Israel. In the book of Josephus, volume 1, there is a passage that talks about the Essenes when it describes the three types or sects of Judaism, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Essenes. The Essenes studied about medicinal herbs and about the medicinal qualities of stones. Stones or crystals that have a vibration or frequency or a signature can be put in water and made into an elixir. And the vibration or frequency can be picked up from the stone, much like in the method of making homeopathy, which picks up a vibration or frequency of plants or herbs. I believe that as Father prepares his people to get ready for the Exodus and to rebuild the temple and the Living Stones temple, Father is going to restore the ability and knowledge for wise and willing hearts to make fine twine linen, to have the ability to work with silver and gold and gemstones. And you can't work with gemstones without understanding the properties of light, because these are all part of his tabernacle and his people and how he wants them to live and how he wants to dwell with them. So if we can begin to partake in some of these things that we have avoided in the past and see them from scriptural point of view, from a Hebrew mindset, I believe it's the time to be very excited that Father is revealing and restoring the lost treasures of Israel and the understanding about how it is that he wants his people to live and relate to his creation. And that as long as we give the praise and the glory to him, he will give us the revelation of knowledge to be able to worship and praise him the way he desires. If you would like to enhance your Bible study by using a Strong's, the Hebrew and the Greek lexicons, along with the ancient Hebrew lexicon, go to theawakenedchurch.com. That's www.awakenedchurch.com. We're out of time today. I hope that you'll join us again next time in part 5 of Rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle. May your garments always be white. There's and let your head lack no shimmin. Shalom. God linen gotta be sown. Learn how to make healing oils on your own. Grinding wheat and storing.